Mr. President, members of council, I'll refresh your memory quickly. Today we're going to discuss a draft ordinance that if you were to enact it, it would have some implications of land use on areas that pertain to a source water protection area. Let me first start off with the Delaware law that initiated this whole movement. In June of 2001, the Delaware General Assembly passed Senate Bill 119, the Delaware Source Water Protection Act of 2001. Now incorporated in Delaware Code 7, Delaware C, yada, yada, yada. It requires county governments and municipalities with year-round populations of 2,000 or more to develop maps delineating source water assessment, wellhead protection, and excellent groundwater recharge areas, and regulations governing the use of land within those critical areas as part of the updates to the 2007 Comprehensive Land Use Plans. It also obligates DENREC to provide technical assistance to local governments to adopt these measures. It also defines and clarifies source water and wellhead protection areas as critical areas as defined under Delaware Chapter 92, Title 29 of the Delaware Code. The bill also requires that a citizen and technical advisory committee be consulted in the implementation of the source water area plan and closely related matters. That's from the law, so that's why we're here today. What you have in front of you is the proposed work product from that committee to be drafted into an ordinance if you see fit to do that. Along with this draft ordinance is also a list of comments from DENREC, and I believe you have that there. It's dated May 30 of this year, signed by Kevin Donnelly, who is the director of the Division of Water Resources. I want to give you a quick overview of how this happened. This committee has been meeting diligently since April of last year. They've met about 12 times, and they really deserve hats off because they've really worked very hard on this for you, trying to give you their appraisal of what would be best for the entire county as per this law. The first two meetings, we really just discussed the mission of what we were trying to accomplish and try to talk about general overview issues. We spent roughly six more meetings trying to craft an ordinance based on ordinance that we were given from our technical consultant that you hired on a contract, Nick DePasquale from Duffield Associates. After those meetings and after drafting that ordinance, DENREC made some comments on that because we were about to bring that to you for your consideration. And the committee was rather disappointed in the comments that they got from DENREC, so they discarded the ordinance they had done. They had spent 7 months on this. They trashed that ordinance and DENREC's comments and decided they needed to start over again completely. A paramount effort on their part. I really felt that they were laboring difficulties trying to get this done. So I need to stress to you that they worked very hard on this. They spent another four meetings crafting the ordinance that you have in front of you. They've done this from scratch, from the technical expertise that's available in this committee. And there are some people on this committee who know a lot about this issue. So they spent a lot of time discussing and trying to craft this ordinance for your consideration today. I'll let their chairman speak to you anytime you like as to the work they put into this and why they feel it's a reasonable document to address this law. You also have the comments in front of you from DENREC, and you have the ordinance, and what we need to do today is hopefully give Mr. Griffin an order as to what you want to do. Do you want to move forward with an ordinance? Do you want to take the ordinance that the committee has delivered you? Do you want to make some changes to it? Or what is your pleasure? But that really is the business of this workshop. And with that, I will be quiet and sit down. Thank you.
And that's that.
Bert, Mr. Messick, you were the chairman of this fine committee.
Hey, referee, I think.
You might want to recognize some on your committee if you want to do that.
I'm Bert Messick, chairman of the committee. We got Sam Wilson, Wayne Baker,
Kevin
Burnett. Mabel Granke,
and
Dan Kramer, and anybody else?
I guess it.
Oh,
very
great.
Okay. As Mr. Godwin said, we spent a lot of time on this ordinance. We started off going one direction and then got halfway through and found out that wasn't the direction we wanted to go in. And then we scrapped it and started over and went in another direction. Basically, what we come up with and finally decided was that there's already plenty of regulations currently on the books through DENREC that handles most of the things that were stated in that state law. That state law was based on a 1991 EPA report based on Delaware standards for water quality. And since that 1991 EPA report, DENREC has instituted many regulations, underground storage tanks, hazardous waste materials, and we saw no need for the county to duplicate the DENREC regulations. DENREC is better handled to handle those type of situations than the county is. They got the personnel, they got the expertise. So we thought, leave all that to them, let them handle it, let them regulate those areas. Our basic thought was that because of that, we're basically come back to basic land use within the wellhead protection and the excellent recharge areas. And in doing this ordinance, we went with basically the minimum requirements that the DENREC currently has. And in going through this ordinance, we think it's a fair ordinance for the landowner, as well as protecting the drinking water of Delaware residents and Sussex County residents. So I would like to see this ordinance adopted as is in its current form.
Did you look, you have, I'm sure, Bert, you have a copy of what came from Kevin?
Yeah, and in this ordinance, I admit that it's not perfect, you know, as far as language, and there's some clarifications that probably need to be done. You know, this is all of our first times of writing an ordinance, so we're not experts in writing an ordinance, so.
Do you have any feeling on this? That we should look at it, or at least go one by one and get everybody's opinion on it, or?
Well, if you want to go through it one by one, that's fine with me. If
I don't know,
but you know, there's one thing in there. It talks about we want to grandfather all current wells that's currently existing right now, and grandfather them in. And they recommend, or they have a in there that says our paragraph wasn't clear on that, and I think that probably is correct. You know, we probably need a little clarification on that. Line in there on page 4 under wellhead protection, letter A.
Why don't we have Finley, the author of that letter, come up, representing that side of the art. You know, think maybe we get a little give and take here and find out why they support this. And
well, let's not get into an argument between pros and cons to begin with, Mr. Cole. We'd probably turn up, probably end up that way. But why don't we go ahead with Mr. Messick? And you, if you have any of the board members or the committee members that want to speak about a particular item of it, let's hear that, and then we will contact. See, we've got Kevin Donnelly and Nick DePasquale here, and anyone else that tell us what maybe what they don't like about it. It was a workshop, not a public hearing, but you know, I don't know whether there's a fine line between the two.
Okay. Any committee members have any comments? That Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I would agree. Is this thing perfect 100%? The answer is no. But you know, I'm going to go with that A line A. Any well in existence prior to the adoption of this ordinance is exempt from the condition of this ordinance. Now, how more clear can you be? Says exactly what we intended for. First of all, I'm going to put this into record. What is the law, number one? Is it required? Is it needed? Is it wanted? And if the answer is no, the chances are it wasn't put in here. And that's, I think, the whole group as a whole. Now, there may be somebody out there that says, well, there's some things in here they may spot, and giving you, and I'm sure particularly Kevin Burdett might want to say something on this one issue in one of the letters. But as an overall picture, this is not, you know, the main direction is to have the lawyer. What you guys need to do is give him the direction on how to, what you guys then want in it.
Okay.
Mabel, please come forward. Can you come forward, please? We got to get it on tape.
We got it on it from somewhere. The last time.
Good afternoon.
Mabel Granke. I'm not clear on exactly how you want to proceed because there are four major points that I feel are exceedingly important in terms of addressing. And it goes to the issue of approaching how we address land use. And this has been my concern all along, is that, yes, there are regulations for many of the activities that can take place, but from the standpoint of land use, do you even consider that they are appropriate in certain areas, particularly our public wellhead areas or our excellent recharge area? And this is what I think is so important to address. And first off, on page 4A, for instance, when you exempt the current public wellheads, it seems to me that this totally negates the purpose that the law created in the first place. The situation is that this is the very reason we need to be establishing an ordinance, so that current public wellheads, particularly those that are so important to many of our cities, totally outside their boundaries, and if there's going to be development, then that development needs to be looked at from the standpoint of how it addresses protection of that public wellhead. There's a classic example that took place just recently on Route 24 and Warrington Road. There is a major City of Rehoboth Beach wellhead that produces over 1 million gallons a day. And there is now the proposal for a medical building to be built there. Fortunately, the site plan was looked at, and the stormwater protection, drainage proposals and all were appropriate. But the point is that this is the kind of thing that needs to be able to be addressed. And if it isn't, then we have a very serious situation on our hands. And so I don't see how we can exempt current public wellheads. The other important point that I think at least has to be looked at is the purpose of just overall, just as a standard to allow storm wet management facilities, and this is in page 5, E and F. Is it appropriate to even plan a stormwater management facility close to a public wellhead? Doesn't that have to be taken into consideration? So that's my question. On page 6, D, when you make just the broad statement in an ordinance that on-site wastewater treatment plants are going to be allowed, what are going to be the standards in terms of allowing that in relationship to a public wellhead or in our critical recharge areas? Because if you just willy-nilly say it shall be allowed, how can it be addressed and provide protection for the public wellhead? So it just seems to me that there are some very serious issues where the ordinance needs to be looked at very carefully from the standpoint of making sure that we are protecting our source of water for the public. Thank you. And I put in, I have my memo that makes some other points, but those to me are three of the most important.
Is there a, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Griffin.
Is there agreement among the committee that we have to do something about this per the charge given to us through state law? And that the issue that some of you differ over how best to accomplish that protection and how far the regulation should go?
I know what my opinion is, if you will. is that we have to address this. But whether the rest of the committee feels that way or not, I cannot speak for them. All right? I feel that this was the mandate of the law.
Hey, look at it.
I was just asking Mr. Jones, when Cadbury came in, there was a...
Absolutely.
They came in, and then Duffield came in with a proposal.
Right.
How to protect
that. And that was given to us as a classic example of what you can do through a system of augmentation. And my concern there, though, has to be that condition was placed on that development in terms of how they should do that. Now, if you establish that system, then to my mind, there also has to be the provision for maintenance so that down the road, you have a system that continues to operate the way it was intended.
Do you feel that what Duffield proposed is adequate for that particular site?
Yes, at the moment, it certainly seems to be, and I think Mr. DePasquale is here, and he could answer that question. But yes, because there is that alternative provided, that you can address the situation in terms of how it's going to be developed and how it's going to protect the public wellheads. Yes, because, of course, that had direct or potential direct impact on the city of Lewis Wells. And we have other developments coming down the road that have the same potential.
Thank you. Next. It's like getting a haircut. Next.
I'm Wayne Baker, live in Lewis, member of the committee. And on some of our considerations that we went through great deliberations in is that DNRAC drew up a map, and the wellheads are wellheads. But more importantly, on the freshwater recharge areas, the excellent freshwater recharge areas, it seems, and this is why we maybe not did everything that DNRAC thinks we should have done, is that they forget that Sussex County is basically a big sponge. We have numerous gallons of water in the ground available to us at all times. That we need maybe to protect the quality of, but DNRAC has already done that through all their hazmat, underground tanks, junkyards, and everything else going on. The thing that happened in Millsboro was an accident, because back in time last year, I had no idea what he was doing with the chemical, as is most of the contaminated sites today that we as kids, and my father did as an adult at the time, had no idea that when he was pouring burnt oil on a ditch bank, he was creating an environmental disaster. But on the other hand, to answer Mabel's question about the wells and the towns and municipal wells outside of their own boundaries, people own this land. Private people own lots of land in this county. They own it all. And for a municipal to go out, like the city of Rehoboth, bought 1 acre of ground off Warren Road or Warrington Road and put a well out there for 1 million gallons a day, they should have sought to protect that well themselves. I don't owe the city of Rehoboth the thing. And why should the adjacent property owner owe the city of Rehoboth money? And why should they give up their development rights or value of their lands because the city of Rehoboth wants it? So what she's saying is let Rehoboth have whatever they want, and the property owners adjacent get nothing. To me, that's a taking. And if anybody outside of their development or their wells want to protect their wells, they need to go out and buy the land. Now, we purposely stayed away from that in this ordinance because they wanted 5-year time of travel. They wanted all this stuff on wellhead protections. And we said, why? It's not required by law. It's not a regulation. It's nowhere. But when the DNRAC goes to look at a well permit, they look at a 5-year time of travel of the resources to that well. But we stayed away from that because because if we did that, Tidewater and Artesian and all these other public utility companies are not going to go out here and invest in buying 25 acres or 50 acres of ground to put a public well on. There's other ways to do it, more meaningful ways and less costly ways to get water serviced. And with the development, what's your chances in the development of somebody causing a major well contamination? There isn't any. So why restrict the houses or what they can, you know, the impact of what they can do. So we kept these ordinances in a general mode to protect the property owner and his rights to his land, to enjoy his land as he sees fit. And this goes through with the excellent recharge areas. The state drew up a map. I talked to the geologist that drew the map, and their interpretation of that map, well, these boundary lines are maybe within 1,000 feet. They didn't know how they got these boundary lines on these excellent recharge areas on the map. And he said they examined 600 well logs. Well, the well driller does not look, and they only looked at the top 20 feet of the soil profile. They didn't care about below where we're getting our water. Most of us are 80, 90, 100 feet deep. They didn't care about that. The top 20 feet where the sands, the top sands would allow water to percolate through rapidly, so they say. But they don't care. They don't know. So they drew this map, and then they have the right to change this map at any time they want, DNRAC. And they expect you guys, or the county council at the time, to be able to amend this map and put all your restrictions out there, whatever you adopt. So again, we thought that this was a gross taking of the private property owner's rights who owns the land, and these, this, because let's face it, this is all new. It came up in the year 2007. Who knew that they owned land in an excellent recharge area, or average recharge area, or any recharge area? And yet, they want to go out here and put restrictions on those people that just happen to own that land to stop them from making any use of it. They wanted to say you can't do more than 5% or 10%. We liberalized that and made it 40%. And so this is how we thought as a committee. We went looked at this as what we had to do, what was required for us to do, and everything else we left out. And this is why when Nick started down the road and writing this ordinance, he put in all DNRAC's regulations, all their things that they wished for in it, and then we determined that it was wrong for this county to go forward with such a humongous type document. And an ordinance should be to define what it wants to do and kept simple. So this is why we changed our methods. And so there's several things on Cadbury. Let's talk about Cadbury for a minute. Cadbury is not even in Lewis's 5-year time of travel order to the Lewis wellfield.
Right, can you? I was going to ask you that, but Ben, you're on it now. Can you explain to me what you're meaning by a 5-year time of travel?
If you put a drop of water on the ground, and it would take 5 years for that drop of water to get to that well.
Okay.
Through the underground sands. And
that's a different measurement at different places.
Yes. Depends upon the soil profile, the water, and it depends on the amount of water you're pumping.
So every well will have different
characteristics.
Travel time.
Right. And this is not a requirement by law. This is not a regulation. It's 5-year time of travel, but you know, certain people, in this prior ordinance, people are standing up here and saying, "We want to protect the land. We want to protect the land." Well, everybody stands up here does not own land out in a rural area. I own a major parcel in this county, and I don't want to give up any of my rights. I'm telling you right now, whether it be for well water recharge, well protection, anything. I want to be able to use my land that is currently zoned. Anytime you take a straw out of my basket, you're taking value away from me. And I don't care what it is. And you all can do whatever you want, but I'm telling you that the days are coming. And they want to protect agriculture. Everybody wants to protect agriculture. But if they do, why don't you pay the farmer a couple $1,000 a year an acre so he can afford to keep it in agriculture production? Not every farmer is making it out here in this world today. And not every farmer can irrigate his land. So I don't know where all these strange people come from. But anyhow, I just want to tell you where this ordinance, why we got where we were, and some of my beliefs, and to counter some of Mabel's objections to this ordinance is as far as water protection, the recharge areas, the stormwater management systems, anything that she feels that interferes with anything the city of Rehoboth wants to do or any other town wants to do out here in the rural countryside is detrimental to that town. But she forgot one thing, the property owner who owns that land adjacent
to it. Is it just Mabel, or is it Mabel and maybe DNREC? Do they feel the same way Mabel does? Is she supporting some testimony
DNRAC won't stand up and say what they really want because, again, they're a state agency empowered to do certain things, and you're dealing with state officials, state employees, I might add, who think that all have an idea. And it's not necessarily a state law, state regulation, state anything. It's their idea and how they personally feel. And that
they're not getting this from some other sources, like they might be studying a certain area and picking it up from other areas that have done this. I mean, you think they're just personally?
Well, I think that
a lot of their little. Now you know better than that, I think, Wayne. Now they're not. I can't believe they're. They've got to base it on something up there. They're not just coming up 5 years. If you drop the water in, and it was not somewhere documented, that's a standard that's used somewhere.
It's a standard that they use to protect the wellhead protection. But again, what they forgot, if they're going to use that, then they should have started 20 years ago or 50 years ago and bought out.
But we didn't. We're here. I mean, what do we do today? That's the thing.
Well, you don't take the property. The guy who owns a property just to the well. You don't take his rights away.
Well, they do it when we approve these airstrips around the county. You know, the planes fly in, the planes fly out, and we've affected neighboring property owners.
Yeah,
we've done that.
We buy all those.
But counties bought
them. Private airstrips and stuff where we've had, you know, these guys affect neighboring properties. I mean, that occurs with that. I mean,
but you're not really determining guys.
We've also placed, if you've got agriculture, we impose on the neighboring property some buffers on their property because of somebody's use next door. I mean, there is a history of imposing.
That's a change of use of the land next door. Dark. But you don't impose it on the current owner. The owner that's there, the guy that's in the agriculture farm owner, has the right to use his land as per. And I own a parcel of land. I could come in here tomorrow and with a plan and put it before you all at 2 houses per acre or 1 3/4 houses per acre, however it turns out, and develop it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, that's a right that we have. And you change that, you've taken money out of my pocket.
Right. It could be.
Or value away from me.
Would the ordinances proposed by the committee impose on the land that you own any of the things that you're concerned about?
No, I don't have any public wells next to me, and I don't have any, I'm not in any exit recharge areas.
Would the ordinance draft proposed by Duffield have negatively affected your land?
It could possibly, yes.
Because there's an existing wellhead there, or
there's some neighboring wells going in. Artesia's got a couple wells in the area. They plan on putting some more wells in because I've talked to them. Because of the there's a couple developments that are approved or on the books for out of my area. I know it's Artesian or Tidewater, one or the other of them. And they've also proposed a central sewer plant out there to take care of some development. They're going to pipe it by my property. But the thing again
was the concern. The 150 feet for under 50,000, or the 300 feet for over 50,000, or was it the 5-year time of travel? Where was the concern?
The 5-year time of travel, more than anything. So this is why we kept it to a foot minimum from the well. And because most of the water, because you get a well, you get a cone of depression, and the most water is going to travel, percolate down as wells come from the horizontal aquifer. And we were concerned about the reach of this cone of depression, if you will, from the well, away from the well, and how much of it do you protect? In any case, DNRAC and Artesian and Tidewater both stood up and said they test their water, you know, periodically on a monthly basis or something. They test it for a whole bunch of foreign things, whatever it is. And they thought that in any case, within 30 to 60 days, they could get a treatment vehicle or get some kind of treatment in to make the waterable potable to the public, you know, and treat the water at the wellhead right there coming up out of the well. If some contamination got in from somewhere down the line, within 60 days, they could have this water treated and make it potable. And this is after they detected it, and most of the time before the contamination got into the well itself, they would already have it detected and could have taken care of it just as a matter of course. So you don't need a large protection area, given what they say. And they said the same thing in Millsboro. Once they figured out the problem in Millsboro with I forgot the name of the chemical down there that last year was using. But the same thing there. They're treating that water now. I mean, Millsboro is all back 100%. I mean, somebody's paying for the cost of that water. And I was just talking to John Hughes the other day. He says that cost for cleanup of that spill from last year is going to be $12 million. Mm-hmm. That's the anticipated cost for the cleanup of that Millsboro function.
That's right.
And they've already spent several hundred thousand dollars down there. But
If this regulation...
But this wouldn't have happened.
If this proposal by the committee had been enforced, would it have prevented what happened in Millsboro?
No, if DNRAC and Mr. Lasher had known back when he abandoned that plant and had that tank pumped out at the time, it never would have happened to start with. Right. But he, as I said earlier, most of us, and a lot of the people my age, I'm older than some of you guys, I guess, but our fathers never knew what we were doing as far as environmental stuff. And I used the example of pouring burn oil on the ditch bank to kill the weeds. We did that. Every time we changed oil on the tractor, we went out and poured the oil on the ditch bank. Not knowing and not thinking that we were creating a possible environmental hazard. And had we known, we wouldn't have done it, obviously. But nobody thought about it back in the day. Mr. Lasher did not think that this chemical would create a problem such as this in Millsboro as well, or he wouldn't have done it. He didn't have the money to clean it up.
Well, at one time, DDT was permitted, wasn't it?
Yep. But we don't know all those things. You know, we're doing things today that might be an environmental disaster 50 years from now, but we don't know it. So we can't determine that. That's all I really got to say. I just want to answer this comment.
Next.
Thanks, Lee.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Kevin Burdett with the committee. And going through Mr. Donnelly's letter, I think it's he's got some points there which should be discussed. And I'll go through by bullet point, and you may have to talk with Mr. Donnelly to find out exactly where those are. But under the Delaware Source Water Assessment Plan, he states that the EPA requires the 150-foot protection. At least that's the way I'm interpreting his letter. It states that the minimum wellhead protection area around a well shall be 150 feet. However, I believe Mr. Godwin could correct us. The committee asked point blank for Mr. Godwin to verify that and contact DNREC and get exactly where that is so the committee could see it in black and white. And Mr. Godwin did do that and was told there was no minimum standard. Is that correct? Or that was your understanding?
Yes, I did pursue that.
So I guess the first question I would have to ask, if the committee got bad information, then we got bad information. On the flip side...
Where do you see that in his letter?
It's on page 2.
Okay.
Before the first bullet, but it's kind of the...
Oh, I got it. Okay.
But maybe we need to see that in black and white, where it says, EPA says it shall be at least 150 feet. Amen. End of story.
All right. We'll try to find that one out.
And that may resolve that bullet point. As we get on down to... the fifth bullet point on page 2, he refers to the engineering at the Delaware Geological Board, and I concur with that. However, I think, and the reason, and I was the one that asked to have the engineer added in there, is that if we take Mr. Donnelly's point of view, and there's nothing wrong with that point of view, however, in the regulations, for example, on page 4 of the proposed ordinance, we've talked about the public water supply well or contamination of wells with a permitted allocation of 50,000 gallons per day or greater, which draws water from an unconfined aquifer, as interpreted by the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, his assigned DNREC agent, or a professional geologist, hydrologist, or an engineer registered with the state of Delaware following shall apply. Now, what Mr. Donnelly's statement is that we can't include the engineer there, because that would be against the geological board. It's representing that this person knows something. And to that, I'll concur that that may be a very good possibility. However, at the same time, it creates a little problem. That means that unless the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources is a professional geologist, he can't provide comment either.
That might be good.
That means any of his assigned agents who are not registered professional geologists cannot provide comment.
I don't think John's going along with that.
I don't think so either. But, and that's why the engineer was there. Now, engineers under their board says that they can't practice in things that they're not familiar with. However, they can reference geological data or geologist report that have been presented to them. Now, I didn't do that to protect engineers before coming before you or a subset. However, all of the county ordinances that I could find in planning and zoning never mentions a geologist, hydrologist. It only talks about professional engineers and licensed surveyors. So to keep it compliant, that's why we threw the engineer in there. If you want to strike it, I got no heartache with that. But so we don't go before the geology board and ask the secretary of the department to do a violation or any of his assigned staff, we ought to strike those as well. Just so we clean it up, we clean it up good all the way through. The last bullet point in Kevin's letter talks about, you know, how do we talk about the existing wells in existence prior to the adoption of this ordinance? And believe me, there were many vivid discussions in the committee meetings about this. And we came basically down, and the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my feeble mind, it came down to, okay, guys, what are we going to do? We have really two choices. We say, land users, if an existing well exists, then your land use is going to change. Or we say, existing well owners, once this law ordinance comes into effect, all of you who aren't in compliance with the land uses going out there, you shut down your wells. Equally, they're going to be about as equally popular. So what we're saying is, people, from this date forward, let's go forward, let's monitor the items that we've put here. We have new current DENREC regulations. You know, in the siting of wells, DENREC has one whole division that looks at when a well is sited, all the items that must be done prior to issuance of a permit for that well. And why would you want to have your ordinance have to be updated every time they change their rule or regulation? If they say 300 feet and yours says 150, who's the guiding governing agency, them or you? So I believe, and again, with the committee behind sitting here, they can stand up and say, no, I don't agree. I believe the deciding factor was, and what has been said earlier to you today, we understand that regulations are going to constantly be changing from now to the end of time. Hopefully, they're going to be getting better and more more environmentally friendly. I understand what Mabel said about we can't allow a wastewater plant, perhaps in an excellent groundwater recharge area. And if I 100% agree with that, that means that I believe in my heart that DENREC's going to allow a wastewater treatment plant in a non-excellent recharge area to put out pollutants. And that bothers me. Mm-hmm. Just because it's in an excellent recharge area, we're not going to let them put out pollutants, but if it's outside of that, we're going to let them put out pollutants. I don't think DENREC's going to do that. They're going to make everybody put out groundwater that's equally of good quality, whether it's in an excellent groundwater recharge or not. Because if they don't, what they're telling me, and I have a private well, is if somebody next to me puts a wastewater treatment plant you're telling me that my life's not as important as people who happen to get water out of the excellent groundwater recharge area. And I don't think that's what you gentlemen are trying to say. I thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Burdett, just on that last point.
Yes, sir.
Since all existing wells would not be, like of your type, would not be covered, is that a fair statement?
That's correct. My well is not considered a public potable well.
Yeah, right. Okay.
At my house.
Yeah. That'd be 50,000. It
wouldn't be covered by this anyway.
However, please bear in mind that this, and it's easy for us to get, we talk about municipalities and big water users and utilities. This ordinance also governs people who operate daycare centers out of their home. Right. They're potable public wells. They pump less than 50,000 gallons a day, but they would be governed by this ordinance. The little country convenience store, they would be governed by this ordinance. Right. Restaurants are governed by this ordinance because they produce potable water to the public.
Right.
So it's just not the big municipalities you have to think about. It's.
But if they're under 50,000 gallons a day, they don't.
Yes, sir. It's still covered by this ordinance.
Right.
Yep. nursing homes, all those. Okay?
Next. Come on down. Anybody?
I'd like to comment on one thing yet. The five-year time, let's get the five-year time frame. Time frame on 5 years. That's a huge illustration. I believe Messick brought it in. In a five-year time of travel, we were originally led to believe we couldn't build in a five-year time frame. Then along comes Mr. Messick and done some research. And now I don't know if I can give you exact figures, but take Blades and Seaford. Blades, their five-year time of travel was 90-some acres?
Their one well was covered
180-some acres. Big time. And Seaford was even twice as big, wasn't it? Well, guess what? So the question came up, well, if they're already there in the five-year time frame, they're already built. You got service station, gas station, you got repairs, you got everything coming down the pike, but they're sitting in the five-year time frame. But we were led to believe originally that we weren't permitted to have it. Well, that's when things completely took a U-turn and started changing on this ordinance. Because then all of a sudden they said, oh, we didn't say you couldn't build, but yet we were led to believe you couldn't build in the five-year time frame.
So what are you going to do about the people who are already there in that
five-year time frame?
That time frame.
Exactly. So
they don't find
so
out.
Here's the thing. They have to, from that well, any new well, if this ordinance goes into effect, they got to go out and delete the area. What does delete mean? Does not mean you've removed something, you've just mapped it. That's all they're going to do. They're going to map the area. It could be 1,000 houses in that area, but they're going to have to map it. That's all. 5 year time frame.
Okay.
Delineate.
Anyone else from the committee?
Well, I have a question. The state law sort of has some directives in it about what the county should do. And one of those directives is that we're supposed to adopt the overlay maps that identify these critical areas.
The recharge area.
Well, recharge is part of it. The wellheads is part of it. There's like three aspects to it. And the well water assessment areas.
Right.
We're supposed to adopt those overlay maps. And then it may all be shown on the same map. Then I think the state law says that by December 31 of this year that the county will adopt regulations. And my belief that this ordinance you put forward is your recommendation about what that regulation would consist of.
Basically right.
Maybe it would be helpful if, and I'm not doing this to try to create dissension between you, but it would be helpful to me as somebody who needs to understand where we want to go with this thing, if somebody could tell me why things like 150 or 300 foot safe zones are important, or why a 5 year time of travel is important. I realize that you scaled those back to 20 feet and the safer zones you've made smaller and you've done away with the 5 years, but
no, we didn't put away the 5 years. The 5 year time frame is still there. DENREC is still going to make the 5 year time travel regardless of if you're going to put in a well, that they're going to map that area. It doesn't matter.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It's still there.
If you're going to come in and have a development and you've got 1,000 houses going in there and you're going to have a well, we're just saying basically you can't have something within 100 feet or 200 feet, whatever it is.
100 feet. It just depends on the size of the well.
Right. Depends on, the bigger the well, naturally. But there again, they still have to delineate make that map. That's a separate map from the recharge area.
That could change.
Right. Well, every one of those changes, because every time a new well is put in, they have to make this map. Doesn't mean you can't build in it. Mm-hmm. Because, and then you got the recharge areas, which is wherever that, we should have had that map here. And what, it's 8% or so of the county? And so that map is what you're supposed to be in this ordinance and so-called protection. And originally they wanted one house to 2 acres. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. Today,
Mr. Kramer, I really hate to ask you to repeat what you said again, but I don't want you to. They cannot hear what you say for the tape, so we need you to come forward to the microphone.
What I was saying is that
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just
the ordinance that's going to be presented is not going to be what I recommend necessarily. It's going to be what council tells me
right.
they want.
Well, that's what this is all about, right?
But in order to understand this, maybe someone with more expertise than I would have would tell me what this flow model means and this.
That's why DENREC has got to figure out. Kevin, I think you need to answer that flow model.
We're going to get him up here.
But anyhow, the flow model is somebody, DENREC or somebody, determines. But that has nothing to do whether or not you can build in the 5-year time frame. We're saying you can. If you read that, if that ordinance that we want.
Okay.
We're not taking anybody's development rights away if we can put that 5-year time frame. We can still, but here you want, there, they want it to have all this area removed, and where you couldn't have built. At one point, we were looking at acres upon acres, and it would have cost millions of dollars to put the well in. Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden, well, no, you don't have to build. We're not saying you can't build. So now you're back to track one. And so the 5-year time frame is just that. I mean, like Mr. Baker said, you drop a piece of oil here or water, how long will it take it to get to that well? If it takes 5 years, that's the direction they're going to give you. It's not a circle necessarily. It could be oblong. But it all boils down to what is and what isn't going to be in that 5-year time frame. The same thing occurs with the high recharge area. Originally, they wanted, like I said, they wanted 2 houses or 1 house every 2 acres. Well, wait a minute, right today, if somebody walked in here and asked for an application, they could build at least 1 house per acre at a minimum. And if you guys put a development in, you possibly could build a whole lot more than possibly 4 houses per acre on a high recharge right today. So why should that change in the future?
Hey, Dan, if this ordinance restricts people from building on their land, is there any suggestion that they should be compensated?
We actually do not have that in there, but I suggest that it should be in there, and it ought to be that they're going to get the highest double dollar of the appraisal.
I mean, if the state wants, if the state wants to build a road through your land, they come to some kind of a price
right.
for it. And if the public wants clean water and they want to...
And they want to pay for it, let them pay for it. Let the public go out there and buy that land. I'd gladly sell them my piece of land.
But there's no compensation mechanism.
There's got to be a responsibility of government to provide clean water somewhere along the line.
There's no provision in there for compensation for those property owners?
There isn't. No, we did not put that in there.
But those property owners who fall within this oval are basically having their property taken away from them.
No, wait a minute. No, you're not, because I'm going to tell you what. You're still, right now, state law says... If you are going to have a development, right now, a subdivision has to be so many feet from anything to contaminate the ground and so many feet from property lines. So if this is 100 acres in here and you're going to develop it, you're going to put that well in there, you're not losing anything.
Okay.
That guy is not losing anything. It's the small guy particularly, the guy with 1 acre, or 4 acres, that's the guy is going to get hit the worst, because that's why that thing was put in 20 feet. Because otherwise, if you got to go 100 feet from there, how much land can you not develop on? That's the person that's hurt the worst.
Okay.
The little guy.
The little guy.
All right. Anyone else from the committee want to speak?
The little guy.
Mr. DePasquale, your turn. I think we have a contract with... Your firm?
That's correct.
So give us your take on it, and we'll call on Mr. Donnelly next.
Nick DePasquale, Duffield Associates, Senior Consultant. I think the scope of the contract that we had with the county was relatively limited, and so it kept us from being totally engaged with the committee through their entire series of meetings. We started off with the first two or three meetings just providing background information, explaining the requirements in the law, giving examples of situations that could develop in the event that there was a problem in excellent recharge areas or ground wellhead protection areas. We were asked after the third meeting, being concerned that we were basically running out of time on the contract, that we needed to get something on paper. And the committee instructed us to go ahead and prepare a draft. We weren't given specific instructions on what was to be contained in that preliminary draft proposal. So we looked at the ordinances that were on the books and basically put together a framework document that was intended basically as a discussion draft. That meant that things could come out, things could go in. It was just meant to sit down, have a discussion, and see what direction the committee wanted to go in. I think what some may have interpreted is these were the minimum requirements that DENREC was asking for. That was not the case. We attempted to explain that, but in some cases it was understood, in other cases it wasn't. We did not participate after the fourth meeting in any of the subsequent meetings that the committee held, except for one where we came in and explained some concerns that we had with a preliminary draft that the committee produced after we had given them our discussion draft. And that document was provided to you all as part of the package. That was at the end of the year. I think the memo was actually dated December 28th, if I'm not mistaken. We appeared before the committee and went through the comments that we had on the draft in a meeting that occurred in January. And then after that, we really didn't participate with the committee in the development of the proposal that they had before you. So I'm not in a position really to be able to explain what the issues were that were discussed and debated in those subsequent meetings. Personally, I think we're not dealing with technical issues here. I think we're dealing with philosophical issues. I think the department's comment letter pretty much explains what they would consider to be acceptable and unacceptable. I think it's probably up to the council at this point to decide which of those comments you're going to respond to.
Did the Duffield draft duplicate protections for these critical areas that were already existing in state law or state regulations?
If you read the first two items in the, these have been in from the get-go, the preface and the purpose statement, I think that may help define the issues a little bit.
And you're referring to the Duffield draft?
Any draft you want to look at, actually, they were contained in all of them. So if you look at the committee approved draft from April 24th, that was the same, literally probably the only thing that was the same in the original preliminary discussion draft that we provided. We did include things like we think it's probably a good idea to prohibit hazardous waste facilities and confined animal feeding operations and a variety of other things, underground storage tanks, in wellhead protection areas. And again, that was thrown in for discussion. It was a matter of you want it in, you want it out, you want requirements for higher treatment levels. But it was a land use requirement. It wasn't an environmental requirement. There is nothing in DENREC's regulations that I'm aware of that says you cannot put a hazardous waste facility in a wellhead protection area. That's a land use decision. Likewise, for impervious cover and excellent recharge areas, there is no requirement that DENREC has to expressly state what land use is going to be in excellent recharge areas. They can't say limit it to 25 or 30 or whatever percentage. So the responsibility really rests with the land use authority, which in this case is the county, to say how they want to regulate activities within these areas.
Is the term impervious cover defined somewhere in state law already? Regulations?
It should be in the definition section, actually. I don't know if it is in the...
I didn't see it.
but that's something that could be relatively easily defined.
That would mean paving or hardscape or...
Right, something that keeps water from infiltrating into the ground. But really, I think the distinction is between environmental requirements that the agency has on the books, and I think as I believe it was Wayne Baker pointed out, they have had a series of improved regulations go into effect over the last 2 decades. Mm-hmm. So that certainly helps the situation. The question is up to the council to decide how you're going to regulate land use within those areas.
So essentially what you're saying is that as a consultant, you were asked in fairly early in 06 to come up with a draft. You didn't know exactly what the committee wanted in it, and what you came up with, the committee perceived as having gone too far, and then sort of the committee and GenRec were sparring back and forth about what to put in it.
I think that's a fair characterization, yeah.
Okay. and at this point, the Duffield is not putting forth its own version of what the council should do.
Yeah. No, we weren't asked to. In fact, we weren't even asked to provide comments on the approved April 24th proposal that came from the committee. We were not asked to comment or provide a review of that.
You were just asked to draft the ordinance? That's it.
We were asked to provide a preliminary draft ordinance, which we did, and we provided feedback when the committee asked for it.
Do you have any comments on the April 24 version?
Well, I think at this point, really...
prefer not to make comments on
Do I get to choose? Sure. I think at this point, really, the issue is what is going to be acceptable to the department, and the department's basically given you a list of items that they believe need to be addressed, and I think really that's the issue. How Duffield feels about it or how I feel about it personally is really irrelevant.
If the county has a different concept of what's needed than that held by the department, how do we resolve that?
I think it's resolved the same way that any of the other similar issues, state resource areas, any similar program where the state has a program that requires the county to do something and the state decides whether or not it's going to meet the minimum requirements.
Is it possible that within the three counties we're going to end up with three different versions of how to protect groundwater?
Not only possible, but extremely likely. Yeah.
And are there geological or geographical differences that dictate that it should be different within the
county? Well, there are. Certainly, I think there's a lot of discussion about when you talk about these things, people think it applies to the entire county. For excellent recharge areas, we're talking about roughly 7.8% of the land mass in the county, of which about 1.6% is already tied up in public lands like parks and fish and wildlife areas and that sort of thing. So you have roughly, whatever the difference is, 6.2% that's in excellent recharge areas. And
how many acres is that, you think?
That I can't tell you.
36,000, you think?
And then there's another... And another 1.6% in wellhead protection areas. So what you gain by having protected lands already, you lose to wellhead protection areas. So we're talking roughly 8% of the county would be affected by the ordinance. There are alternatives, and they were presented. You can take a look at cluster development so that you allow a developer to develop the same number of units on a given parcel, you just put them away from the excellent recharge areas or the wellhead protection areas. That was offered up as a possible alternative. Conservation easements that would allow some compensation for those areas that weren't able to be developed, transfer of development rights, maybe a bad word south of the border here, but there are some land use alternatives that are available to county council if you want to go down that path.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Donnelly, would you like to tell us why, explain some of your reasons of, I guess, what you would recommend that they do different in this draft?
Sure. Sure. Can Kevin Donnelly, Denrec, Division of Water Resources. I was hoping that my letter was fairly clear in articulating where we thought the committee did a good job. And I'll agree with Bert, Mr. Messick, I know Bert. Writing ordinances is not an easy thing to do. That's why council relies on attorneys to help them do that. And as you know, the assistant administrator for the county mentioned, you know, the committee appointed by this body tried to do as good a job as they thought they could. And source water protection, wellhead protection is a complicated world. My staff live and breathe it every day. You know, these individuals on the committee, you know, do not, but have tried to translate a pretty comprehensive set of guidelines into an ordinance and bring it to the council for its consideration. I'm going to start with one question because I'm a little, I'll admit to being not exactly sure what the position of the committee is on my second to last bullet. The question as to whether or not the draft ordinance intended, because I heard Mr. Messick say, I think, that perhaps it should be revisited, but then I believe I heard Mr. Kramer and Mr. Burdett say, no, the ordinance is written exactly as the committee intended, or at least the majority of the committee, and that the ordinance is intended to exempt existing public water supply wells in the county from the requirements of this ordinance. What is the, you know, I need to know, because that's really, I think, the most significant issue facing the council. Are you or are you not going to adopt an ordinance that protects people on public water supply?
Well,
okay.
Well, the definition of protect is what's at issue. I mean, if that protection encroaches on other people's rights, maybe we think there's a better way to do it.
Maybe there is.
Okay.
I'm not defining what protection is, but right now they are exempt from any provisions of this ordinance.
Which is reduced everything, like from 150 feet down to...
Well, more specifically, it says any well in existence prior to the adoption of this ordinance. So that would include public, private, everything.
Well, I'm presuming, pardon me for this leap of faith, this ordinance was intended to address public water supply wells. I got to think.
We did agree to it.
I got to think that.
We got the majority vote.
I understand. I'm just
engaging
in a... theoretical discussion.
Donnelly's got the floor.
Okay. So I think that's a very important question that needs to be, you know, refined, decided by the council.
Well, what is your recommendation? That's what's going to be helpful if we know all sides of the...
Well, my recommendation is to protect and to impose this ordinance on all existing public water supply wells. I think the people who are connected and get water from those public water supply wells deserve that level of protection. I deal with water supply issues all the time. I had a meeting of the Water Supply Coordinating Council this morning.
You're putting yourself out on a limb and making a statement.
Well, I have a professional responsibility to give you my best judgment. That's what I'm doing. It's not universally accepted. I know it's perhaps in conflict with your committee. But think about the people who are, you know, connected to a 20-year-old public water supply well. They're not, you know, what you're saying is they're not worthy of the same level of protection as someone who's connected to a water supply well. I don't think.
Maybe a ridiculous question, but how are they not protected now?
Well, because you're not affording them the same level of protection that this ordinance.
Are they in immediate threat? I mean, is there a track record of those wells going bad that illustrates the need for a new higher level of protection? I mean, there is a whole myriad of regulations coming down from the Department of Agriculture, DENREC, all the other agencies to protect the environment, which in turn protects the water. Now, we can go for, you know, 5 parts per billion of some chemical in the water or, you know, 5 parts per trillion in the water. Am I making any sense here?
Are we talking about land use around a well?
I think, you know, that's how I was going to respond, Councilman Phillips. Mr. DePasquale mentioned it, and I think it's really what the issue is about. We have regulations to control certain activities. Those activities are at times permitted under your ordinance in terms of land use, as they are permitted other ordinances in other areas of the state. We're talking about reasonable, appropriate land uses within these areas to protect a bountiful water supply in Sussex County. You're blessed. You have a good water supply. I'm not here to subscribe the taking of property, the irresponsible reduction in values of land, but this law challenges all of us to do a better job of protecting our water supply. We gave you, via that law, a whole list of choices on how you might be able to do it. We didn't dictate anything. There's a manual, basically the Sears Roebuck handbook on options for protecting your water supplies. You appointed a committee. They gave you recommendations. I'm sharing my staff's thought, my concerns on whether or not I think the committee gave you something that is really protective. I'm telling you, I don't think it is. I don't think it meets. And let's go to the purpose. The last sentence in the purpose. This ordinance is intended to satisfy the requirements of the Delaware Source Water Protection Law of 2001. I'm sorry to say, and you hired a consultant. My staff attended many of the meetings. In some cases, they were asked to advise. In some cases, as appropriate, their advice was rejected. But I'm just telling you, as drafted, this ordinance does not meet the purposes of the state law.
Does it meet the state law?
No. If it doesn't meet the purpose, I'd say no, it doesn't meet the state law.
Does it meet the state law?
Did you develop an ordinance? Yes. Is it a responsible ordinance? In my opinion, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Okay.
And I tried to give you some specific instances where I think it can be improved. For example, we think the committee did a great job, okay, and we state this in terms of the controls they suggest be in place in the excellent recharge areas. Okay? What we're suggesting is that you consider imposing those same level of controls in the wellhead protection area. Okay? I think that'd be a good thing. I did a little math, which is always a dangerous thing. 20-foot radius. Area of a circle, pi r squared, 20-foot radius. It's 3/100 of an acre. Okay? 3/100 of an acre. 100-foot radius is about 3/4 of an acre. 150-foot radius is about 1.62 acres. So when I hear, in the case of certain wells, I thought I heard a 25-acre, a 50-acre. No one's asking for that. We're asking for something maybe a little bit bigger than the average single-family lot to be deemed to be protective of your public water supply wells.
And your agency doesn't think that's unreasonable?
Not in terms of our experience in cleaning up contaminated water. Look at Millsboro, okay? It's the poster child right now. Certainly for practices and sub cases not known to be bad. As I understand it, the individual owned it up until the mid-90s. Certainly the disposal, if that's what happened, I'm not going to say. But we know that cleaning up contaminated water is very, very expensive. Preventing the pollution, either deliberate or inadvertent, is much less expensive. And should there be I've heard compensation when a municipality locates a well outside of its jurisdiction on private property, should the property owner be compensated? Absolutely. Well, why shouldn't they be?
The guy originally sold him the well site. He knew what he was getting involved with.
Well, and at times, you know, certainly these rules perhaps change the understanding. But, you know, I'm not opposed to the compensation for individuals, you know, to protect water supply. Look around the country. It's considered to be, you know, one of the single most important resources for economic development, quality of life. And this county is blessed with an immense supply of varying qualities. But I would just encourage you to use your best judgment. And again, my staff, we're ready to help. We'll continue to work with your committee. But we just really, you know, encourage you to take a hard look at this and maybe make some strategic changes that provides a more adequate level of protection to the folks who live and enjoy this county.
Kevin, I just got one thing. I mean, it says here in your, I think it's your letter, about the 100, yeah, about the 150 feet wellhead protection.
Mm-hmm.
This ordinarily protects within the safe zone. Is that something you have as a regulation or a law, or is that just something you guys do?
Well, you're talking about, I think it was mentioned a couple of times by some previous speakers, and it's the councilman, the second complete sentence on the top of my second page, right? The Delaware Source Water Assessment Plan. That's a plan. I'm going to be clear. It's a plan. It is not a regulation. It is not a statute, okay? And in that plan, we included the statement. That plan was reviewed and approved by EPA. It's basically as it says.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, what they approved says that the safe zone should be 150 feet. Okay, not 100, not 20, not 300, but 150 feet. So it's not law. Okay, I want to be real collect, real direct, not regulation. It's in the plan, but that's what was approved by EPA. Okay.
Kevin,
yes,
you mentioned about grandfathering, or your concern, your number one concern was the grandfathering of existing wells. Given your knowledge and your staff's knowledge about wells, public wells in Sussex County, what would be the effect of not grandfathering wells in Sussex County?
Well, in some cases,
and applying these regulations then.
Yeah, and I don't know, certainly I don't know the location of every well in the county, but I would think in some cases, current uses permitted around those wells may have to be restricted in order to protect the water supply. Okay? And the question is whether that's reasonable, whether that should be compensated, and whether it benefits a greater good.
Who's going to compensate it, Kevin?
It's your ordinance, Councilman. Yeah.
But the state's making us do it.
Uh-huh.
Fair enough.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
They're saying
the General Assembly passed this law and put us with the responsibility of seeing that you're
following.
Sometimes
they don't have good sense either, like us. I understand that. But
well, where
we do have. Let me tell you, though. I mean, and it's not been tapped. We used to. I'll make sure we still have it.
Wouldn't say it because you're only.
We have a revolving fund that allows for the protection of. Do we still have it, Mr. John? It allows for protection of wellhead. Yeah, there is a fund, okay?
Okay.
That's never been used, but it's available. How much is in it?
Don't get that figure out.
I wouldn't say because they
don't
pass the budget yet.
I wouldn't say because they'll steal it from you. You
okay.
Know, you're going
but that is
there.
Available to help compensate for easements in those areas that deemed to be worthy of protection. Okay? Is it, you know...
Could we write that in the ordinance that the DEMRAC would take care of the
I'd hate for you to write a check that I can't cash or.
I wouldn't write a check. I can tell you. Well, they wouldn't get us right there. But okay. I'm just giving you up.
Any other questions for Mr. Donnelly?
There was a provision in your letter that addressed the concern about allowing an engineer to give an opinion regarding matters that were. That would normally fall under the practice of someone licensed to engage in geology. Have we determined that that's a concern with the Division of Professional Regulation? Is that out total? Is that outside the engineer's scope of licensing?
We think it is. I mean, is it? You know, is it this? We tried to be very open and upfront about our concerns mm-hmm. in the ordinance. You know, is it the most important concern expressed here? Absolutely not.
Okay.
You know, and if council deems, you know, thank you very much, Denrick. That's not one I'm going to fall on my sword over, I can tell you that. There are much more important ones here that I've tried to express.
Right.
About the recharge area, Matt, Kevin, I know there was some concern with the committee on the recharge area, Matt. I've not seen one, but.
We have copies should you want one.
When was that map developed?
That map was developed over a series of years by the Delaware Geological Survey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the state geologist is located there. They're a scientific non-regulatory agency located at the University of Delaware, and they're the ones who did the site investigations, field investigations, soil investigations that resulted in the map that and we applauded it as proposed by this ordinance the county adopts.
And when we approve our comp plan update, we're supposed, as you understand it, we're supposed to adopt that map.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not simply reference it, actually adopt it.
I think that's correct.
That's what state law says.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it the same jeopardy as a state resource map?
I would hope not.
Okay.
In all circles, I would add, too. Time will tell, though.
I understand that. I'm with you there, Kevin.
And there was mention of, one point is, hey, we should have done this a long time ago. Sure. Newcastle County, they've had source water protection ordinance, especially in the northern part of the state, because they have some very vulnerable soils.
Reservoirs versus...
Well, yeah, but they have some what are called limestone soils that are very porous, not unlike your sandy soils. They've had protection ordinances... Since 89 or so. So, you guys, I'm sorry, you guys, it's too informal. The council, it's...
We've
it's,
been called
it's,
worse.
Today, already.
Today.
Not by me. Yeah, it's timely. I don't take any, shame in the fact that you haven't done it yet, but I think there's an appropriate time. Again, we tried to give you as much technical help as we can provide. If you need more, we'll get the DGS down here. I've got other hydrologists and geologists who work for me. And, we want this to be as good as it can because we want it to be approved and we want it to be protected.
Has Ken adopted it yet?
I don't think so. No, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anybody else from the state want to speak? I will recognize the chairman of the committee. Yeah, I saw his hand up. And
just some clarifications on discussions in the committee that and why we did what we did on some issues that Kevin Donnelly addressed. Mm-hmm. The grandfathering. We discussed that, and we felt that for somebody to change the use of their property, once it's the well's already there at current use today, we felt that that would was not fair to that property owner. And we looked at compensation, but we also looked at how much it was going to cost and some of the figures, and it was going to be way too expensive for anybody to come up with that kind of money. You know, it fall back on the county council or fall back on a municipality of the well. And then we looked at private property owners that some of this is going to impact. You know, small businesses, your restaurants, your daycare centers. And if they're not set back too far or not far enough from a well, then they would have to change the location of a well. And they may not have enough property to do that. Then they would have to go out and buy additional property. Or if not, then they would have to go out of business. And it's not fair for that business owner to do that. You know, a business owner, he goes ahead and he puts his business in and he follows the requirements at the time that business is put in and the wells are put in at that time. Once a regulation changes 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, we didn't think it was fair for that guy to go back and modify his business for a requirement that gets passed 10 years later. We felt the intent of this ordinance was to regulate everything that is going in, all the wells that would go in after the adoption of this ordinance. We did not think it was fair to go back to somebody 10, 20 years ago and change a well location or change the use of a business.
How about if he's got just vacant land around this area and it's not really affecting a use other than an ag use or just vacant land, whatever. I mean, if it's unimproved land, do you mind that being exempted? I mean, does that have to be exempted, let's say, or grandfathered? Or would that, would you look at that differently as opposed to somebody with an improved parcel and he's in this area?
Well, we thought it was all would fall under the same category. We looked at everything as the same, if, whether it's improved or unimproved lands.
Do we know how many wells that are sitting out there that are on this map? Kevin, you got any idea? I mean, just ballpark? Okay. About 500 for Sussex County? That's what would be affected. That's what's on your state resource map or the state well protection map.
Now, does the this since this ordinance would apply only to new public wells, was that number of 1,000 meant to include all wells or all public wells?
Only public wells.
Okay.
Only public wells. And that's what this ordinance pertains to, just public wells.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
But you answered my question. I was getting ready to ask you, take a lady's got a daycare out here in the country, and this goes into effect, and they're not exempt, and she don't have room to expand or move her well or whatever. You know, is she either out of business or, you know, I don't know.
Let's say, Karen, come on down. Dale's just painted a scenario. Would that woman with that daycare center be out of business?
I don't think so. And it's covered under page 7 under the non-conforming use portion as drafted. Okay.
Page 7 of
the committee's proposal has a non-conforming use section. Basically says, and it's like, you know, probably similar to the non-conforming use language already in county code, that basically that upon adoption of this ordinance, non-conforming uses may continue in source water protection areas in the form in which they existed at the time of the adoption of this article. You know, any non-conforming structure converted, enlarged, in this case by 10, or moved back, and no land use shall be changed unless in conformity with the requirements set forth. So, again, it you know, inappropriate, and I think wise of the committee says, hey, if it's adequate, you know, it's non-conforming when adopted, you know, there's some minimum changes that can occur. Anything major has to conform to the ordinance.
Can we say rather than no land use shall be changed, we could say no zoning shall be changed? The whole land use definition versus zoning, I think, could
well, zoning may not be a structure. It's the use. Is what you can zero
understood,
in.
But you've got equity in the. Again, these are issues we can probably talk about later.
Yeah, I mean,
we're talking about equity, and if you take a farm field that has equity for 2 units per acre, and then you put 2 units per acre on, its use is technically changed, even though its zoning has not. So I'm not sure is that going to come into play here.
I don't know. It depends if, you know, if the farmer sold his land or to allow for a public water supply well or not.
Mm. We've got all kinds of ways that we can make a development. We've allowed for cluster housing. We've allowed for all kinds of things to go around, and we can accommodate those kind of situations.
Anything else, Mr. Messick?
No, that's like I said, we looked into compensation. We thought that was going to be way too expensive for municipalities and water utilities. And as Kevin says, this ordinance meets state law, and that's what we wanted, an ordinance that met state law and yet did not put too much restrictions on land use or the property owner.
Thank you. I would...
I might add in passing, Kevin's so afraid...
You're going to have to come to the microphone.
Make it quick.
Wayne Baker again. Kevin was very explicit in what's in a plan and what is part of regulation. And I just want you all to take that to heart, because a lot of the stuff that he says, even in his letter, is what's in the state's plan. It's not law, it's not regulation. And we thought very much in our committee that we were opposed to writing new law and new regulation being a sort of an informal type thing. If the council wishes to go that way, that's fine. I mean, I can't dictate that, but we thought as a committee that a plan is a plan. It's not law, it's not regulation, it's a requirement. No, it's not. So therefore, we think our ordinance meets the statute of the state law.
Believe me, we were all listening for that. We want to follow state law, but we'll leave it at that. What do you want, Sam?
Well, I was going to try to avoid saying anything, but...
Can you make it quick?
Sam Wilson. The one thing they did say something about is the grandfathering these wells. We must remember, state inspection comes and checks these wells. If they got a nursery or daycare center or a store or commercial, and they're continually checked. So what's their purpose for going the other direction, see? You want to think about that, see? So that's another thing I was thinking about. And I was thinking about, we're so concerned about what might fall in the water. And I used to do some well drilling, so I know a little bit about it. And we're always worrying about the ventilator or whatever it might put around the pipe, you know, so the water, so make sure no pollution shall go down the well when we get done drilling. Mm-hmm. But yet, I've often wondered what the state would do after they'd done issue this well, and then about a half mile down the road, we got a 100-acre pond. We call it a borrow pit. And that's about 100 feet deep, sometimes 200 feet deep, like I hear to Melvin Joseph, you know. How about all those neighbors? How about that pollution? We're all concerned here about ventilate, you know, isn't it amazing? But yet we allow this. And then we think about the seagulls that goes across and the buzzards that makes their droppings and all these things, you know.
They don't go into ponds.
So you know, sometimes we have to stop and think. We have a natural screening process here. It's known as sand and clay and all these other things. So you know, the good Lord's put this thing here. So we can think of all kinds of dangerous. We'd be so dangerous that we think, well, it's not even safe to go out of the building here, because an airplane could fall out of the sky and all these things. So, you know, when I went to school, they used to talk about the guy that, the little, what was the guy that used to holler, the skies are falling.
Chicken Little.
So, you know, if we're not careful, we'll become Chicken Littles here. So, and then all we want to do is add more regulations and more hardships. Look, I was right in the middle of my farming year, and it seems like I stay into it. And I came here because I want to put my input. And these guys are pretty intellectual, and we did a lot of work. And I, for one, I have not said anything, but I'm 100% behind what we did here. We changed it. We wasn't on a payroll. We had no time limits. We didn't say we're going overtime. We did it because we want to do what was good for this county, what's good for my children, my grandchildren. Look, I'm not planning on moving. My grandchildren are here, and probably them here. So... we did what we think is good for you and what's good for us.
Thank you.
We didn't even get a dinner.
I think the committee did a good job. And Mr. Burdett, final comment.
We thought about a dinner, but we'd have to post a note to Dan.
Yeah, we'd have to.
Thank you, President Dukes. What I'd like to do, because I believe Mr. Donnelly raised some valid points, and I'd like to take the scenario he presented to you and ask him if he could come back. Let's look at the city of Lewis for just a second. They've got 5 wells adjacent to the high school. Now, under the non-conforming clause, those 5 wells could stay there, as I understand what the ordinance presently says. However, the city of Lewis has replaced those 5 wells, each one of them I know once over the last 50 years, and I assume they would be doing that again. Perhaps he has some recommendations that could be added, or their interpretations of what would be added, in that when the city of Lewis goes to replace those wells again, would they not be allowed to replace those wells at that location? Or would the Cape and Lopin High School have to be torn down and moved? And I'm saying, I don't know the answer to that, Mr. Cole. Probably,
well, I don't think anybody would tear down the school, Kevin, but maybe they would.
But, okay. But I'm saying, is it the
same scenario as a business? If they redo a
well. They're not going to do that.
You see.
They're doing it right now.
Yeah.
But perhaps that gives you the guidance on how it's not an easy situation, whether it's the land use or the well, which has the priority. Now, we do know that DENREC in their permitting section for the construction of the well has distances that they can apply that says there shall be no pollutants for the X number of feet and that type thing.
Whether it's confirmed.
Whether it be 100 feet, 150 feet, or whatever. But, I mean, for myself, sitting on the committee, and they did, we went around and around on that particular item. I kind of like to hear what DENREC, maybe it would give you some insight as to how to address that nonconformity issue and the...
What's the rules going to be on the other side of the hand? Is where you, I mean, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Donnelly, would you like to comment on that scenario? What would happen in that instance?
Written note. Give us written.
Have any idea? Of course, you're going to have to come to the microphone. We can't hear you back there.
Oh, throw you the mic.
Just say no comment.
What, you in a hurry, George?
No, there's nobody's going to tear a school down. You know that.
We're not saying
you're just
that.
Playing around now. Let's go.
Go ahead, leave.
Go ahead.
We don't need you.
He wants to get on the radio.
Playing around. No.
I don't want to get on the radio. First, to address Mr. Wilson's comment, the county approves borrow pits. DENREC does not. So just for a matter of record. I mean, obviously, you know, no one would intend to tear down Cape Henlopen High School. That's just... ludicrous, and I would think my friend Mr. Burdett knows that.
Well, how about a small business?
I guess it's the point that he's trying to make.
Well, and you know, it's an existing use. I would think that the use could continue. Look at the non-conforming use provision. As long as it's not expanded over 10%, it would continue with no impact on the location of the well.
So I think what you're saying then, you would agree that grandfathering should be in this plan.
I think it's in it.
It is.
Yeah. You're saying it's in it.
Should stay in it.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't suggest taking it out.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I think Kevin's question was if they plunked a well down.
Well, it depends on the city of Lewis's source water protection ordinance.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Godwin, let me see if I can get a consensus from the council here. We've had a lot of comment. I hope you've been making some notes today. Yes. And you've got the letter. You got the letter from Mr. Donnelly
and Robin.
And their comments. And to get this thing moved forward, we're not going to do it this afternoon because I'm getting ready to leave. I've had enough for today. We need to get back together, council, and it has to be done in public session, but it not will be open for discussion. But we need to address these issues one at a time. That Mr. Donnelly has raised here, and I don't know any other way to get a consensus from the council other than take one at a time and say, guys, what do you want to do? And I think is that agreeable with all the council?
Mm-hmm. Yep. What do we do in what way? What's the question? What do we do?
Yeah. What are you going to do with the comments from DENREC and Mr. Donnelly? Are you going to ignore them? Are you going to incorporate them in the plan?
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what the question was.
Well, that was my question.
So we could post it on the agenda and then...
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Jones probably will not be here on June the 17th. He's going to be in NACO in Richmond. He might get back late that night. It's a night meeting, but I think that we need to address that some afternoon. We don't have an afternoon session.
Dale?
Would be my suggestion how to resolve it.
Why don't we draft an ordinance... We've got one now, a conceptual ordinance that the committee has come up with. Why don't we draft an ordinance with DNREC's recommendations from Mr. Donald?
It would be much easier just to prepare a comparison chart as opposed to drafting ordinances.
Well, that can be a comparison. Any way you want to do it, I'm just saying have both of them in written form so we can see what one looks like.
Let me do that. Do you know what? I'm asking for, Mr. Godwin?
Call it whatever you want.
You take care of that. Being you're the one that have started this.
Mr. Dukes, Jim Griffin and I could sit down and do that. It's not a problem.
Thank you very much.
Sure. That's good. That's fine.
Gentlemen, I need a business.
Mr. Rogers got one question.
What is yours? I heard Kevin Donnelly, and I heard Nick, and I heard a committee. I do want to do that, too. Did the
Nick, I heard your comments, and nothing against you personally, but did a consultant quit? We pay for a consultant.
We fired him.
I mean, that would happen. I mean, he acted like he just threw his hands out and left.
Look, we had to write.
Excuse me, Mr. Kramer. Mr. Rogers is directing to Mr. DePasquale.
Nothing against you. My question was that when you gave your comments, you stated that a draft was created and basically the committee chewed it up. Did you just not participate after that point or just quit or what happened?
Actually, it was a budget issue. Primarily, we used the first three meetings of four that were in the proposal informing the committee. We pressed the panic button after the third meeting and said we need to get something on paper. That's when they gave me directions to go back and prepare a preliminary draft for discussion purposes. Fourth meeting, we presented a discussion, and basically that was the end of it. We had two requirements for a workshop. We provided a workshop for the Delaware Rural Water Association as one of those, and then a public workshop that was held in the chambers some weeks back. We have also provided services out of scope pro bono. We probably have spent more than twice the contract amount on this project already that we have not charged county council for. So we're really kind of at the limits of our charitable contributions.
I take exception to that charitable, Mr. DePasquale. I think that the county paid you very well for three meetings.
No, I didn't mean that part of it. The additional that we've spent. It was fair compensation for what was in the scope. What I'm trying to suggest is we provided more services than the scope of services, and that part was charitable.
Okay.
We didn't charge the county for that.
Well, we appreciate that.
I spent several hours on the phone with members of the committee.
I'm sure you did. Did Mr. Kramer call you?
He's got a consultant bill.
In closing, I'd like to thank the committee. You all spent a lot of hours. I know there's some smoke coming from this room periodically. And
first of all, Mr. Dukes made the statement when he hired him that we as a committee had the right to tell him to leave the room, and that's exactly what happened.
Well,
we told him to leave the
clarification,
room.
The clarification on that, Mr. Kramer, was
thank you, Dale.
The committee asked me, you know, and they wanted sort of work. They wanted him to come in and lay out the reason, the ground rules, and then they wanted to close the door and hash it out themselves for a while and see what they could get done. And so that's, I think that was the day in council. I said, well, when you get to that point, just say, okay, you give us what our direction. Now let us see what we can work out on our own. And I think that's why Mr. DePasquale did not attend all your meetings, because you were thrashing it out and trying to come to a conclusion. I want to thank Kevin and Nick and the committee. You've all done a remarkable job. And you say you've spent a large amount of time on this, and we do appreciate it. And hopefully my concern is for protection of public water and private water and everybody else's. We're going to get something that can go in the land use plan, and it won't be everything that the committee wants. It won't be everything that Denrec wants. And hopefully it'll be enough. It'll be a consensus. It'll work.
So, it will work.
We want to thank you, even though it's, you know, discussion and debate gets heated sometimes. Okay. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a motion to second adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, so carried.
Jones, I will see you this evening.